Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Mike Hanford.
Thwip.
And Tim Kalpakis.
What is up?
We're your hosts, the Sloppy Boys Band.
Thwip, thwip is what I'm talking about over here. I was just playing Spider-Man 2, Marvel Spider-Man 2 for PS5.
Are you into it, Mike?
I'm into it, but I'm doing a very smart thing, I think, here, Jeff. I am sitting down to play like one or two missions at a time.
That's all you need.
I'm not sinking like hours into it. Like this whole past weekend, I didn't play it at all.
But you want to, don't you?
I wanted to. I want to be playing it right now, actually. I came off a really hot mission.
Nice.
I left my man Miles Morales down in, where was it? We were down in Coney Island. We were about to walk into do a little investigation.
Now, I only played the first Spider-Man, but I was kind of bowled away by, what a faithful New York City they had in that game.
Sure.
Is that?
Sure.
Yeah. But like I was seeing buildings that I'd seen in real life.
I went by NBC 30 Rock, and instead of NBC, it said Felden's.
Felden's Broadcast Network.
It looked like just a storefront. I don't even know if they were pretending that was a broadcast place, but it was like, ooh, Radio City. I know this. Oh, Felden's.
That's so funny because I bet it's a Sony game, and they're like, we're not giving NBC any
right. Exactly.
I spent the 4th of July with you in Coney Island this very year, Mike, when you were when you were just investigating around there. Did you see the bar that we drank at or in Nathan's?
No, because I was just, the mission was starting. I realized I had to get onto the pod here. So, I swung around a little bit into the baseball stadium that I've been in, and there was some roller coasters.
Was it nostalgic for you? Oh, yeah, I've been here.
To be honest with you, Tim, there's no time for nostalgia in this game. You're zipping by everything so quick.
Oh, that's weird because most games for me, I'm looking around. Oh, I used to come around here.
I used to eat hot dogs around here. What this game needs is a mission where I take a open top bus and just wander around the city and on a
tour. You ride the big red bus tour.
Yeah. Like you don't want to thwip thwip. You want to ride on the top of a bus.
I do want to thwip thwip, but I'm missing everything. I almost missed Felden's. Go too fast, you're gonna miss Felden's. They say
careful, don't miss Felden's. Well, I remember playing GTA 5. Yeah. That's the last one, right?
That's in LA.
And,
yeah,
and like going down to LAX and being like, man, this looks like the real deal. And then it tricks you because I went down to LAX for real and I felt like the last time I was here, I stole a plane. You know, you have false memories.
Yeah. And then you started walking right onto the tarmac, looking at a hotwire a plane.
I remember playing GTA 5 and then like getting in my car afterwards and I was like kind of revving the engine a little more and making some questionable moves.
Questionable left.
Yeah.
There was a video game that's not Red Dead Redemption, but one of those style games, but it was set in LA and it was like a 1930s LA noir vibe.
Oh, yeah. That looked cool. I remember when that came out, but I never heard anyone talk about it.
I've watched clips of it on YouTube because it's very faithful. Like Los Feliz is in the game, and you can go down and walk. Like you see where the Vista Theater is now. It was like it still had the set from D.W. Griffith's Metropolis or one of those, just like hanging out down
Damn,
there.
Oh, that's wild.
Which I think before the Vista was built, like that set had just like fallen into disrepair and was just sitting there. And but I've heard that we should work it. You know, we're talking about doing the Sloppy Boys tour of Los Feliz. We should have work that in as well. Maybe it's a video game, but you have to party your way up Hillhurst.
That's funny, Tim, that you approach this video game as a history buff.
Yes. Looking around saying, I used to go here.
But I mean, I imagine that game also has like, you know, the old UCB Franklin is probably William Randolph Hearst's stables.
Yes. But don't forget, after that, but right before it became UCB, it was the Tamarind Theater. And Colin Quinn did a one-man show there directed by Ben Stiller.
Wow. I would never forget something like that.
Don't forget. You mustn't forget.
Wow. I don't think I knew that. Ben Stiller directing Colin Quinn in a one-man show.
Yep. A meeting of the minds.
Two New York guys going out to L.A. to do a one-man show.
Is Ben Stiller a New York guy? I wouldn't say so. Is he?
Oh, I would. He lives here.
Oh, well, that's kind of that's the ultimate litmus test.
Well, he's always tweeting about the Knicks too. Or was, maybe he's off X. I don't know. Is anyone on X anymore? I hardly go on.
It's tanking.
I'm on X.
I'm on it.
I haven't X'd.
It's tanking, and I tanked my own X by, you know, I used to tweet jokes and they were funny and everybody loved me, and then I kind of ran out of jokes. I'm like in kind of my Andre 3000 era where I lack inspiration. And I really, the only thing I ever do is just retweet the Sloppy Boys account. And look, you would think that that's prime content, but I have lost like 2000 followers because it's just like every week it's like, here's the blowout. Here's the cocktail. Here's the blowout. Here's a cocktail. And then all the people that were looking for clever, satirical wit.
That's not why you follow at Tim Kalpakis. You want a string of pearls, each one unique.
I think you want the whole picture of the man so that you can, the personality emerges from, I contain multitudes.
Right.
Yes.
I'm wondering, do you guys unfollow people a lot? I don't unfollow very often.
No, I follow for life.
No, they tend to just fall out of your algorithm if you don't like them.
Yeah. That's what I'm curious about, people unfollowing you, Tim. It's like, what? Who? Why get rid of that? Because you know a little gem is going to come through.
I think they want to be as far away from me as possible. Or maybe...
maybe they just got off X.
Maybe they kept clicking on the Sloppy Boys stuff, and then they were getting addicted to it, and they wanted to stop. But could have also just been bots. Maybe 2,000 bots jump ship on me.
2,000 bots.
Wait, oh, that was a thing. When Elon took over, he was like, I'm killing inactive accounts. And if an account hasn't tweeted in like 3 months, it's getting killed or whatever. So
I see.
All my old geriatric followers that don't get up to tweet too much.
He did what?
Dang.
Oh, we're at Denny's. I'm reading Linda Underwear while eating my moons over my hemi. Me and Sheila love Beverly Mysterious. That's our in on Hollywood gotcha news.
Well, you guys want to do a little booze news? Speaking of news.
Yes.
Bip, 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 bip. Hit it. To France, tickets to New York town. I went to Greece, tickets something to eat. He said, shit, all we got Serena's. Chili cheese Fritos. Flamin' Hot Fritos, Honey Barbecue Frito Twists, Spicy Jalapeno Frito Scoops. Give me all those fucking
Doritos and Fritos! It's booze news, you greasy-fingered ragamuffins.
Waka waka!
1,000 Gex Booze News was sent to us by John Aramini. And if you have a booze news theme, email it to sloppyboyspodcast@gmail.com.
That is good. That was the Gex. We love the Gex.
Yeah, we love the Gex. And some Fozzie Bear.
And me bragging about my Frito buffet when me and Jeff were watching Dawn of the Dead. Day of the Dead. You'll never be able to get them straight. Which one's the mall one?
Dawn. But it was Day that we were watching together. And you went. You took a couple Z's there, Tim.
Wait, it goes Night of the Dead, Dawn, Day, right?
Night of the Living Dead. And then they dropped Living. And it's Dawn of the Dead, Mall, Day of the Dead.
So they start this whole trilogy at nighttime.
Yeah.
That's the same movie where I made us take a Jenny's ice cream break. So I had put out all the Fritos and we had six bags of Fritos to eat. And then I still made us stop the movie and walk to Jenny's ice cream.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's an accurate retelling.
I heard about this. There was one point when Tim, I heard you were like, well, give me those fucking Doritos and Fritos.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was not necessary. I hope the Gex come out with something again this year, because not to disparage them, but they could probably come out with albums pretty quickly. Wouldn't you think? It's just two people.
Yeah. They do a lot of live stuff, though.
What do you mean it's just two people? That doesn't hurry it up. This is just two people.
Well, I guess less people to like to get into a room or something.
In our band, there's a third guy saying, no, hold on. Well, let me get to the studio. I'm running late.
I just want him to do another thing.
They opened for Boy Genius at the Hollywood Bowl. It's kind of funny.
Now, who's Boy Genius? I've heard of that.
That's Phoebe Bridgers and...
Phoebe Bridgers supergroup?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
And two other equally powerful women, but I just don't know their names. But it's a supergroup, Mike.
Yes, you don't see supergroups much anymore. That's good.
They're a supergroup, but they wouldn't be like selling out the Greek if not for Phoebe Bridge, I think.
And also, they don't sound... Oh, it's Julian Baker and Lucy Dacus. Lucy Dacus. Dacus. But
don't dox us.
It's funny because Gex don't sound anything like them, but they're down to clown. That's funny.
I think it's just for the cool kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a couple weeks ago, I forgot to mention this. I saw who is the Haim sister who is in Licorice Pizza?
Alana Haim.
Yeah. Alana Haim. Yeah, she was sitting right there next to Taylor Swift at one of the games.
Whoa.
No shit.
Yeah.
She's in the squad, man. The
little buds, I guess, because they did touring together.
Yeah, they were friends from work.
She's like, I got this thing tonight if you want to come. My boyfriend's got a football game. Sure, I'll do that. I got them. Where is it? Kansas fucking City.
I saw Alana Haim walking out of a hardware store in Los Feliz, and she was wearing overalls and carrying paint cans like a cartoonish person who was doing a project.
That's good.
Yeah, it was good. I said, hey, this is good, lady.
This is, hey, what you're doing now? What? This is good. Don't talk to me.
Hey, can we get to the actual fucking booze news, or is it going to be...
My friend saw you on TV!
Is it going to be all nonsense?
My friend saw you on TV!
It's not nonsense, Jeff. It's good stuff. It's allowed because it's shit talk. No, it's booze news. Shit!
Yes, but...
Gotcha.
That Gex-themed booze news theme by John Aramini did mention a certain Frito-Lay product that factors into today's news, because, okay, this was one that slopheads were tagging me in it right away, sending it to me, and I was like, yeah, I don't know about this. This is one of those ones. And then people kept tagging, and the buzz only grew and has grown to the point where I, as editor-in-chief,
you can't ignore it.
Required to report on Doritos-flavored liquor. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
Have you seen this?
I have seen that.
Ooh. Ew.
Now, it's from this brand, Empirical. They've got this bottle of Doritos. It's like 46 ABV. So that's a strong ass, 92 proof. It's a drink that they have distilled from Doritos nacho cheese. And that yes.
They've distilled it from the cheese?
This is why I brought it to Booze News.
This is like saying that the crunch berries really do come from a factory.
Yes, that's what's happening. Here.
Well, they do come from a factory.
The cartoon. Yeah, okay, a factory of sorts, but not a cartoon.
But do they ever come from a plant?
Yeah, you're right. Tim, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I think a lot of the boozes that are trying to sort of make a little splash on social media, but then you can't really find them or whatever, they're like infusions or flavored, right? You know, it's like, this is the KFC vodka or whatever it is, and they've just like added flavoring. in this case, empirical has like the ingredients, like it's distilled from Doritos. It's malted barley, Belgian Saison yeast 2, and Doritos nacho cheese. And it's actually made from that. And the reviews are, is that it just tastes like Doritos and that it's delicious. And people are liking it.
What the fuck? Now I want to try it.
What's the, is it vodka?
Mike, did you not listen? You don't listen.
I wasn't listening. I wasn't listening because I was thinking about the distilling part.
Yeah, Mike wasn't listening. What was it?
It's not vodka. It's not rum. It's not gin. It's not whiskey. It's not tequila. This is a new spirit that is distilled from Doritos.
Okay. Okay. I wasn't getting that at all.
Yes. You put Doritos into a cask and you distill it. And now you have a liquor that was made from that.
How does the liquor come out of it? What the fuck?
As if we would know from like with vodka and grain or whatever.
Yeah. As if I know what the word distilled means anyway.
Oh my God.
No, but this sounds like prison liquor or something. Like,
Yeah,
you can, I guess, distill or, you know, ferment anything. So why not a Dorito?
Wait, the prison one is like piss and shit, right?
No.
I think there is some sort of piss and shit whiskey.
No, I hope not.
Oh.
Hold on. This is worthy of a Google.
Which Sloppy Boys should make.
No.
When we finally come out with our beverage.
It looks like they make it. It looks like they make it in the toilet, but then they have to pee elsewhere. So it's made in a toilet. I don't get it.
Well, hold on. Just going back to this Dorito one. Is this one we can actually buy, or is it one of these ones that's like, oh, it was just a little trick to get us talking about Doritos, as if no one's talking about Doritos anyway?
I know. My God, the Gex are singing about them. It sold out. I tried to buy it. It sold out. So maybe it was just a tiny drop just to get attention. This social media age that we live in, their millennial, well,
hey, I found some answers.
Oh,
I found some answers. This guy on Reddit works at a prison in Australia. He posted this thing 3 years ago saying that, they're always on the lookout for homebrews. The guys hoard bread, bananas, potatoes, apples, and oranges they used to make their homebrews. We have to be on the lookout for yeast sent in through the mail.
Whoa.
The biggest batch he ever found personally was 18 liters, although he had a friend find 40 liters hidden in old cleaning buckets.
Damn.
How about that?
That's crazy.
We got to make some.
That's got to be a chapter of the Sloppy Boys movie. You know, a lot of cool movies will have like a prison chapter.
Mm.
Oh yeah!
Remember when we made beer? Remember that?
Yeah, mine sucked. Mine was awful.
Mine sucked too. But
we all got Mr. Beer brewers for Christmas.
You and I got Mr. Beer, and Jeff got some more scientific with a lot of glass.
Ms. Beer.
Yeah, I got an even tougher one.
Yeah, but it sucked. It didn't taste good.
Because we tried to have a big like brewer party, right? Didn't we have everybody over?
Brewer party.
Yeah.
Wait, it's a brewer party.
It's very much a BYOB brewer's party.
Like, I remember opening mine and they didn't even go, you know, that's not a good sign.
Oh, that's right. Because you could bottle them too. That's right. That was fun.
They like fermented in the bottle and the sugar is what makes it carbonate. So I remember I'm going to cheat and put a little extra sugar. So mine were bubbly, but sweet and disgusting like soda.
You made like Smirnoff ices.
Yeah.
I remember. Yeah. We like nobody liked them, including us. But we also took like poured half of a beer and then poured like half of a Coors Light into it just to give it more of a beer taste.
More of a beer taste.
I remember like starting with a Bud Light and then decorating a Bud Light with like little drops of my beer and going, pretty good.
And then feeling really proud.
I do remember when that party was starting being like, hey, I hope nobody, I hope all our friends don't get sick from this.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
Well, that sounds really good. And if I find it, I'm going to buy it and we're going to drink it, Tim.
Yeah, me too.
We gotta.
Is that it for booze news?
Wrap it up.
Ooh. Well, I'd love to hear about the drink of the day.
Oh, yes.
I don't have it.
I don't have it.
Who's got it?
The team man has it. Yes, welcome to my lair.
What is he talking about?
The industry sour you've had?
No.
No, but I have soured on the industry, Tim.
The Hollywood, ooh, the showbiz industry?
Mm-hmm, yep.
The industry sour, I only heard of this recently in the last few months. A lot of slop heads were sending it to us. And then in the last few weeks, there was a recent uptick even so, because it was featured on The Educated Barfly, which is like, there's a handful of YouTube cocktail shows that I watch when like we're trying to learn about drinks and stuff. And one of them is The Educated Barfly, but they also post theirs to Instagram. And the one that they clipped out on Instagram for Industry Sour went a little viral and made the rounds, and then made this sort of a buzzy affair. And I thought it would be nice to cover on the pod because we've been talking Fernet recently. We all love Fernet, but then it was in the hanky panky, and we've talked about it as an industry drink that bartenders love.
Right, and then
bing, bang, boom. This is all about that. Goes hand in hand.
What'd you call it? Like a closed drink or like a staff drink?
A shift drink.
Shift drink. A shifty.
Yeah.
Oh, closes in like you're closing down the show. I get you.
Mm-hmm.
A shift drink.
Yeah, yeah.
Family meal.
The gang, you say, hey, front of house and back of house is getting together for an tomorrow treat.
We are. Is that today?
Well, I'm glad that we're sticking on like the Fernet train a little bit, because this kind of reminds me, it brings me back to like when we did the Bramble and we tried all the different gin blackberry stuff this spring. So this is like a nice, we're kind of following a stream of consciousness. Also, the listeners probably went and bought this bottle and they want to find different uses for it. This is good podcasting.
Little Fernet thread.
And the listeners love this. Instead of just, oh, random episode, next episode, doesn't matter if you listen in order. This makes them feel like they're part of something. They don't they don't belong anywhere in life. They don't have community. They don't have, society has left them behind. But when listen to this, there's a reason to get out of bed in the morning, you know?
I feel looped in. This is nice.
Exactly.
There's somewhere to go now.
It's starting to feel like I know what's going on.
You ever get up and you say, what the fuck do I have to do today? Where am I going to go?
I have to listen to my phone.
I have to go buy alcohol and listen to my phone.
My phone says to buy stuff.
Yeah, not like those depressed people laying around drinking all day. You gotta go out, buy alcohol, listen to your phone.
I have to go to specific liquor stores to buy Fernet Branca.
Oh, and I hope I can find some of that expensive green chartreuse.
The guys on my phone said it's running out and it's getting more expensive.
The monks are chill and we're running out. Okay, so the history on this one, nice tidy history, which is, ooh, baby, it's a new drink. Only 12, 13 years ago in St. Louis, a bartender named Ted Kilgore.
Ted.
He was hanging out with another bartender and he was making a drink and he was like, hey, we're bartenders. I'm going to make a bartendery drink for us kind of bar type kind of guys. And he's like, so I'm just going to mix up all of my favorite things all together at once. And he had a hunch that it would work, you know, knowing cocktails as he did. He thought maybe it'll keep it simple with an equal parts drink. I think they'll still be nice and balanced.
All of his favorite things?
His two favorite spirits, and then his favorite citrus and his favorite simple syrup.
Lime juice and syrup and Fernet and
chartreuse.
Not to jump the gun.
Two things are green and one is. What do you rhyme with chartreuse? Jeez. Fart loose?
Yeah. Let this fart loose.
That's good. That's very good.
It does say though that like it was he and this other bartender were wearing nightgowns and bouncing on a bed when they were singing.
Really?
On a rainy night.
Wait a minute.
I'm simply making a film reference.
I know. I got hooked in.
But so he mixes up his favorite things, equal parts, and bing, bang, boom. He was right. They were like, this is perfectly balanced. And since it's such a bartendery drink, we're going to call it the industry sour. And that recipe that he used was 1 ounce Fernet Branca. Bar staff favorite. 1 ounce Green Chartreuse, another bartender favorite. We have used it in The Last Word and The Tipperary. It's made by the monks, Carthusian monks, and there's a shortage going on. The monks are say, hey, we're fine with it.
They're pivoting to worship.
we do a little prayer. We do a little chartreuse. That's that, man. And if you want more chartreuse, you guys better make it. And that's what's been happening lately is knockoffs are popping up. But it's another bartender fave. And like, I feel like I ordered a Last Word at a bar one time and the bartender was like, ooh, cool. All right. And it made me feel like completely awesome. 1 ounce lime juice, joie de lime. Yeah. 1 ounce simple syrup. Combine all with ice, shake and strain into a cocktail glass. That's nice and easy.
Up.
This is great.
No rocks.
This is all same. Very uniform. I love it.
And, you know, I love, basically, it's like you got your sweet and sour mix between equal parts lime and syrup. You got your Fernet. Now, I've had some drinks out here that are kind of like a Fernet cocktail, but it's like a Cuba Libre with Fernet in it.
Oh.
I like how lime and sugar and Fernet combine. Now, I'm just wondering, is the chartreuse going to get along?
Chartreuse on the loose.
A Cuba Libre with Fernet. That's good. That sounds good.
Yeah. This has it's a lot of Fernet, but this has a risk of running kind of sweet, right? Because it has the simple and then chartreuse itself is sweet.
Is it? Chartreuse is high proof. It's like 100.
In my memory, it was sweet, but maybe I was drunk.
Reminder, simple syrup is just one part sugar, one part water. You don't have to go out and buy this stuff, folks.
Yeah, he could heat it up.
Heat it up. Right, so you could be ounce of all the other things, half an ounce sugar, half an ounce water.
Oh, mix it in the drink. I see.
This drink is an industry drink. It's called the Industry Sour. And I said, we have resources on this pod. We know a guy who works in the bar industry. Maybe I should text celebrity bartender Jack Schramm, founder of Solid Wiggles, Jello Cake, Jello Shots. And, he used to work at Nomad in New York and all these places.
An all-around great guy.
What's he got to say?
I tell the dude, and I'm keeping this feature alive. I texted Giuseppe Gonzalez last week. So this is kind of a cool thing that I do.
Yeah, this is great. Mm-hmm.
I said to him this morning, Schrammer, have you ever had an industry sour? As a member of the industry, does the equal parts combo of Fernet, Chartreuse, Simple Lime ring true as a representation of your people? And additionally, is Fernet still a fave among bar staff? Or was that more of a 2015 thing and now the rest of the world has just finally caught on?
or was that just your big joke?
And you fooled us, you fuck. Yeah,
you tricked us, man.
He wrote me back and said, industry sour is definitely a thing, especially among young bartenders who are in their, wow, this is so fun, let's get fucked up portion of their careers.
Perfect.
The spec is 1 ounce Fernet, 1 ounce green chartreuse, 1 ounce lime, 3/4 ounce simple. So Schramm dials it back on the simple.
Oh.
No, up. Oh, no, you're right. Sorry, back. Back.
Fourth, yeah. Also, Jeff, fourth would be the opposite of back.
Yeah, that's right.
Fourth.
Right.
Fourth.
Fourth. Oh, okay. That's what it was.
He goes on to say, Fernet will always be a favorite because it's usually the first Amaro people try, and it's such a distinct flavor. It was big in 2010. It was big in 2015, and it will be big now and forever. Even if we're now aware of multitudes of more delicious and better balanced Amari.
So Fernet's sort of like that little black dress.
Dress it up, dress it down. It's timeless. A night at home, a night at the town.
A night on the town.
That's sad when you put on your little black dress and stay home.
Yeah.
You're vacuuming.
That sucks. Looking through your little black book in your little black dress.
Doing dishes.
Oh, I wish there was numbers with these names.
Just a book of names.
That would be funny now if you had a little black book. If you had a physical little black book and it's just like Instagram handles and dating profile names and stuff. And you physically wrote it down.
Well, do we get to it?
Let's get to it.
Yes, yes.
Are we? Do you think we're going to resonate with the young bartenders of the world, or we're still having a fun time with it?
I think we already do.
Yeah, I think so too.
Here, well, I think we're steering the culture, so we do whatever we want and they follow.
Tim, I like that.
That's true.
Mike, don't yawn.
I'm not.
Okay,
great. I want you to see my teeth.
my back teeth. Looking good, my man. All right, folks, we're going to take a little break when we get these drinks ready, and we'll be right back here after these messages.
Nice.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we're back with the industry sour. Let's see him.
Not a huge yield over here.
Sours up.
Why would it not be a big wheel? It's 4 ounces. Not big.
I know. I guess this without ice in this cup, it just looks kind of.
Oh yeah, because you got a rocks glass.
Like, yeah. Kind of dinkified.
I like the look. I like the frothiness of it. It looks like a sour, but then it's like it looks like honey, frothy honey.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, it does.
You're combining greens and browns. Folks, yep. So that's what you're kind of ending up with.
Kind of like when I had food poisoning that time. Yeah.
Okay, that's enough of that, please.
I was hoping we weren't going to bring that up.
Right. Sips?
You started the night. I hope we don't bring that up.
I started the morning.
Your first thought when you open your eyes. Okay, sippy.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Ping, pang, pang, ping, ping.
This is approaching Trinidad sour.
Yeah,
complexity.
This is also approaching green Gatorade taste.
I guess the chartreuse does have a little bit of a Gatorade taste,
and the sweetening, the simple syrup.
The chartreuse is very strong, but it did have like the sugar crystal crackle, taking the cap off the bottle. So I think there is like a pretty good amount of sugar in there.
This is tart and tangy and ping and pangy. Woo!
Yeah, that's a new taste for the old McMahon.
A whole new taste.
Amaro and citrus is pretty fascinating to be getting all those weird many flavors of Fernet. Right.
Yeah.
But then to be having lime at the same time, it's kind of shortened out my brain a little bit.
Yeah, because even in a Fernandito, you don't put in lemon juice. You just do a little twist. You would get a little oil.
And that's pretty good.
This tastes like a last word with Fernet. And I guess, what was the other stuff in a last word? Last word.
It's got like a sweet little, like almost like caramelly thing.
The last word cocktail recipe.
Yes. Gin, chartreuse, lime, maraschino liqueur was the weirdie in that one. So we've simply...
we've gotten the smoky taste out of it.
The sticks, the cherry stick taste.
Cherry bark.
Oh, yeah.
The woodsy bark.
Yeah, that's what I don't like. That I don't need any more of that in my life.
You don't?
Mm-mm.
You know what? 2024, I'm cutting toxic people out of my life, and I'm cutting the flavors that I don't need, like cherry branches. They're out. I'm dropping them.
Nobody gets that I think they're smoky tasting. That's good. One wonders what can be done differently. I know we're not there yet. Yeah. One wonders indeed.
Well,
the mind does reel.
You could do the Jack Schramm thing and dial back your simple if you thought this was too sweet. But it's also, I'm kind of shocked that we're not being bowled over by the Fernet, right? Because we were just talking about how.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty permeating.
Fernet. Well, actually, in our hanky pankies, we cranked up the Fernet a little bit. So
hanky panky, we cranky.
This is one of these ones where it just takes, it tastes complicated, it tastes fancy, it tastes professional, but I don't know that if I just sipped this, I would ever guess the ingredients.
Yeah. It's funny when you do everything at equal measurements, because it almost seems like it would be just a mess in there.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Like, if you gave me to this just sight unseen, I don't know if I'd be able to pick up my beloved lime.
And you're a lime freak.
I know.
Yeah, if somebody gave me this, let me see, and I took a sip.
Maybe.
I don't know if I'd be able to say, oh, I know what's in here.
Sure, you'd still be grateful, though, that somebody walked up to you and gave you a drink, right?
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. And I wouldn't even question it. I'd say, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I don't even tell me your name. I don't even want to look up and see your face. Thank you for this drink.
We salute you.
Drink this green-brown cup.
You know what? Maybe it's the color, but it has a little bit of a cola taste to me. Do you feel that at all?
Yeah, I was going to say like Coca-Cola is maybe like...
Something. Is that the Fernet?
Yeah, it did. What the fuck? It turned into Coke.
It tastes like Lime Coke.
Lime Coke. That's it.
Lime Coke. You, out of the AMC pick your own flavors thing. That never goes well for me, by the way.
The Coca-Cola freestyle?
You get too excited?
My freestyle usually ends up just being like Coke or Cherry Coke.
Man, my thing at the dining hall, which I've carried with me to this day.
How many dining halls are you going to these days?
I'm talking Ithaca, baby. The terraces.
I know.
This was... but I do love a dining hall, Mike. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Fruit punch, high C fruit punch, and mostly Coke.
Oh.
That's a good little combo.
That is a good little combo.
You know? Like a fruit juicy Coca-Cola.
High C. Yeah.
I always just do a Coke with cherry, which is, you might call it cherry Coke.
Sure.
Do you remember when at McDonald's as a kid you could get orange, like high C orange soda?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like immediately, I remember getting it and it would always be very quickly watered down.
Like orangeade.
Yeah. It had a few good sips and then the ice would get it going.
I'm looking for a few good sips.
You found the right place. That's Ronald.
That's Ronald?
Ronald with that squeaky nose. He's a clown.
Oh, right. He squeaks his nose iconically, yes.
Iconically, he says, Grimace, we got to get the fuck out of here.
Hey, they got to bring back the McDonald Land family.
Yeah, make more Grimace shakes or Birdie shakes.
They're fair weather friends to the McDonald Land crew. They bring Grimace back and it's all this, oh, we loved Grimace the whole time. They don't do shit with that beloved cast of characters.
You didn't love him the whole time, or else we would know where he was and if he was a taste bud or not.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Like, I like that Burger King brought back the brown in the logo, the burger logo.
Oh, I love it. Orange and brown.
Like that classic 80s. You ever see that racing stripe set that's like yellow, orange, brown? That's such a not sporty trio of colors.
Hideous, but I love it.
Yeah. It's like tricked out Vans in the 70s would be that color.
Vans, exactly. It's like Van stripes. My dad had a bathing suit with those stripes. He looked like a McDonald's cup.
I bought a white bathing suit and it eventually had those stripes.
What was the orange?
Well,
tea mixed with blood.
Bloody piss. Hey, back to the fucking freestyle Coke freestyle machine. Why isn't there a freestyle cocktail machine where you hit the button? Oh, I'm in the mood for a last word. Gin, chartreuse, maraschino, lime.
That's a great idea.
Wait, I did see something recently that was like a Keurig, but for cocktails. Have you seen that?
Ooh. Oh, yes.
I saw it on a commercial and like the sound was off and I was like, what is that? People said, no, pay attention to what we're doing here.
I've seen that, but I don't think it's like mixing the stuff in the machine. I think it's little pods, like coffee pods. And it's just sort of like, you know,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, yeah.
It's like a Negroni pod that goes.
Nice.
You guys were talking about, as I was probably noticed, I was a little silent over here. I was doing some online surfing and I came across this video the other day. I watched like half of it, but I need to, it's only like 4 minutes long, but it's, the YouTube video is called The Commercial That Killed a Fast Food Chain. And it's about this company, this burger place called Rax, R-A-X. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
No.
It's worth watching this little video because it's, I think from the 80s, looks like mid-80s or something. And they had this mascot that was just like a regular guy. And the whole like ad campaign and stuff was just like, hey, we're not going to do, you know, this isn't for kids at McDonald's or like kids at Burger King. This is just a regular burger for regular guys. Mm-hmm. And it's worth watching because it's so uncool. And the commercials like make so many leaps in the customer's mind, I guess.
Let's play it. Can we play it?
I can send it to you. It's 4 minutes long.
Is it 4 minutes? I'm fine. Is it Mr. Delicious? I'm seeing a 30-seconder right here.
Oh, try Mr. Delicious. Is it Rax?
Oh, no, I'm seeing it. The commercial that killed a fast food chain.
Yeah, maybe just watch the first little bit of it. Just get an idea of what this is.
Yeah, and then we'll talk about it.
Again, it's only a 4 minute.
Wait, hold on. Give me time to...
Will we watch it all at the same time?
Wait, hold on. The commercial that killed a fast food chain?
Chain, yeah.
We'll just watch the beginning.
Okay.
Okay.
Rax was a roast beef place, like Arby's, except that it was constantly undergoing identity crises and it had no idea what it wanted to be. Mostly in their advertising, they just wanted to make the case that they somehow weren't like the other major fast food chains. Here's one of the most successful attempts to do that, implying people are oppressed because they can only get one kind of chicken sandwich. At Rax, you can get an eeny, meeny, and a miney.
Eeny, meeny, and miney. Where's Mo?
There ain't no Mo.
Oh, they tried so hard to make that work. There are lots of bad Rax ads. There's one where a phone eats a sandwich, which features Yoga Jones from Orange is the New Black. This one with the giant chicken foot. And then there's one where a woman wants a pita pocket with a meatball in it and she explodes. Ads were bad in the 80s and 90s, and these are all your normal bad ads there. But as Rax continued to lose focus and market share with an all-you-can-eat pasta bar, upgraded interiors, getting into pizza
Wendy's-ish.
For some reason,
yeah.
They went all
those
in.
Those rooms are very Wendy's.
Worst like those greenhouses
idea
with
ever.
Brass rails.
Mr. Delicious.
Mr. Delicious.
Hello, I'm Mr. Delicious, the new spokesman for Rax Restaurant.
Looks like Harry Carey.
My job? To encourage you to enjoy tasty, affordable meals in a more mature dining environment.
He's like a low-energy Rodney Dangerfield. He is a sad man.
On that vacation he took to Bora Bora with those two young friends. Well, that left Mr. Delicious feeling empty and unfulfilled.
No, you need to explain.
Mr. Delicious just had some rather delicate surgery. If there's no change, he doesn't have to squirm so much to put it back in his pocket.
Did we just hear about Mr. Delicious's vasectomy?
Because his analyst charges a lot to keep Mr.
He's so
D's hostility all locked up.
Wait, what?
And Mr. Delicious always carries his briefcase.
Mr. D, what's in the briefcase?
That's his thing.
And all of this is paired with the worst or possibly best tagline in all of fast food history.
Rax, you can eat here.
Okay, that was great. I had no idea.
Check that out, folks. The Vlog Brothers on YouTube.
It's the spokesman is like a guy. He kind of looks like who played Sergeant Bilko? That guy.
Oh yeah,
He's got like big fat
right,
glasses.
Right.
The old Bilko.
It's like a Steve Allen looking guy.
Yeah, Steve Allen came to mind.
Right.
Sergeant Bill Coe. Phil Silvers.
Phil Silvers. Yeah, yeah. But he's like, got a, he's got a little briefcases.
This was that weird thing where it was called the Phil Silvers show. And then the character is Sergeant Bilko, you know, where they're like,
we have to put Phil Silvers.
Yes. But yeah, Mr. Delicious looked just like that.
But yeah, I liked what they were saying. Like it was trying to almost like be like, find an audience that was too smart, like could understand their ironic character and their ironic catchphrases. Like just get the people in there to eat. But yeah, Jeff, you said it, though. It looks like a Wendy's.
In, the interiors look very much like a Wendy's, like those little greenhouse curved glass things with a lot of ferns and a lot of brass rails, like your fern bars, fern bar aesthetic.
Ooh, the original fern bar.
Fast food fern bar.
That's so funny that to have that much media about racks and have it look like commercials that I grew up with, but it just must not have been in my region.
Right. Yeah. It feels like when you're watching a movie and you see a fake restaurant or something, because that felt so real. But I'm like, it's like another dimension.
Yeah.
It's proof of that thing of just when you try to do everything, like who knows, maybe that food was good. But I love when a place is just confident and tells you what to get, you know, like In-N-Out Burger has the smallest menu and you're like, great, you guys make burgers and fries and shakes and that's it. And so many of these places have gone kind of crazy with the trying to have like, we also have chicken bites and we will also have this and we also have that. And I'm like, well, what are you proud of?
Me, I'm proud of a menu I print.
I have no pride.
That was, remember we used to watch Hell's Kitchen or the whatever Gordon Ramsay's, where he'd go to people's kitchens or restaurants and tell them why they suck.
Kitchen Nightmares.
Yes, Kitchen Nightmares. And he would, that was the first time I heard like the idea of like, this menu is humongous. And in my head, I was like, yeah, that's good probably because you can get anything you want. He's like, no, people look at this and they're overwhelmed.
Right.
I mean, some places are allowed to do it. Like Jack in the Box. It seems like we let Jack in the Box get away with murder.
That's the one place where I like all the trinky dinky toy food. Like, you can get like I do sometimes go in there. I'm like, I'll have egg rolls and tacos and jalapeno poppers.
Why are they got no business making egg rolls?
Egg rolls. What do you like at Jack in the Box? I'll just get two orders of egg rolls.
I like the Chinese food. It's so bizarre.
I do like the buttery Jack. Have you had that?
Sure.
No, what's that?
And we all love Snoop's Munchie Meal. That goes without saying.
Oh my God.
Wait a minute. Snoop had something to do with the Munchie Meal? I think it's suggesting extracurriculars, if you ask me.
Yeah, his home smoker.
Mm-hmm. He's a home fucking smoker, man.
That's funny that Snoop went Jack in the Box. They must have paid him like a ton of money.
Yeah.
I'm sure they paid him.
I mean, they did, but like other...
I think they must have paid him.
He couldn't have done that pro bono.
Oh, they definitely paid him.
Take it from me, Tim. Yeah. They paid Snoop. But like Cardi B did McDonald's. You know what was really funny to me is when we went to Vancouver as part of the West Coast tour with Dear Blanca, our bros. And in America, there was just Cardi B's McDonald's meal, and then there was the other one. What was it?
Offset?
Oh, Travis Scott was the first one.
Oh.
And then when we crossed the border into Canada, and Justin Bieber had a Tim Hortons meal.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, it's all they have the equivalent of here.
That felt like a South Park episode. Yeah. Did Offset do one, or am I out of my mind?
Yes.
Yeah, Cardi and Offset had like a combo together, like a couple's meal.
Hey, speaking of Cardi B, the precursor to Cardi B, Nicki Minaj just announced a tour. We should go to a Pink 2 tour.
Oh my God, I would go. That would be great.
I think that would be so fun, because I think like no way she's doing anything but like hits and like half the hits, like half the songs each just to get to the next one.
And like, you know, how much could it be? Like general admission at the Forum or wherever it is?
Yeah.
Like that sounds like a blast.
I bet she's got like cool stage setups and stuff. Whew. Hey, now wait a minute. Nobody's really... Did you guys see the Beyonce movie?
No. I can't.
Nobody's talking about it.
Let's talk about this.
I know. Why is nobody talking about it?
Taylor ate Beyonce's launch so hard this year. And I don't know, maybe it's just like a demographic thing, but I remember way back during I'm Gonna Let You Finish. Mm-hmm. Remember? Beyonce had the greatest video of all time.
Yeah.
And apparently Beyonce was trying to like extend an olive branch to the Taylor crew and was just like, hey, let's meet up and I'm going to give you the playbook to my whole showbiz deal.
Wow.
And Taylor said, like, cool, we're bros now, Beyonce and Taylor. Even if Kanye's a little weird, we're friends with Beyonce's camp. And now, cut to 2023, they both have giant tours. I've heard about Taylor's 1,000 to 1.
Yep.
And they both have movies. I heard about Taylor's 1,000 to 1. What happened?
Yep.
You know, I think Beyonce's might also be a documentary.
And it's not Eras. It's like the one.
Yeah, it's Renaissance. It's the latest, right?
It's the one. She's just touring the new album.
Yeah. And that the new, yeah, like I didn't go to the Renaissance. Well, I didn't make it to Eras either, but I wanted to. But knowing that it was just it's like the Renaissance album in its entirety and but not the greatest hits. But you're right, though. Like at the start of 2023, if you would ask me who I like better, Taylor Swift or Beyonce, I would have said Beyonce in a heartbeat. And I feel like so many of us and our friends would say that. And it's kind of,
I did ask you that and you never texted me back. I still have that. I still have the three dots.
I was mulling it over all year. The three dots are still going.
Man, this guy, I've talked to you in person on other text chains, but like, I just want that one.
It's killing me. Is it?
I have heard though that, that Gen Z doesn't like Beyonce. She doesn't speak to them. She doesn't speak to them in the way that Taylor does.
Might be too old.
I mean, she's...
Right, because Taylor's 10 years younger or 7 years younger than Beyonce.
The age difference isn't huge, but it might be enough. Like, Taylor's 34, Beyonce's 42, and I do remember when Beyonce released her first TikTok, and all the comments were like, mommy made us a PowerPoint, everyone.
Yes.
It was
very polished, and she hadn't absorbed what TikTok is and tried to be like, I'm ascending from my throne to join your app.
Yes. So she made a vertical oriented little slideshow to promote an album, and people were like, what is this?
Also, they just went totally different directions. Like, Beyonce is supposed to be unapproachable. She's supposed to be like this distant queen of art.
Sphinx-like, yeah.
And stopped doing interviews a long time, like flat out. Like you don't read a Rolling Stone interview with Beyonce. She doesn't do public appearances where she has to talk. I think they sort of realize like it when she is herself, like it's not as good. And that like if she has something personal to share from her life, she's going to do it like Lemonade, where she spins it into like a masterpiece. But Taylor's just going the opposite way. It's like her whole thing is relatability and accessibility, and she's at the football games and she's everywhere.
Yeah. And I think you're right. Like social media and culture just shifted towards, we want to see everyone all the time.
Yeah. It's tough. It's a tough pivot to make, especially because I don't know. Beyonce is talented. Obviously, she's more talented than Taylor in a lot of ways.
Hey, I see she's got some talent. That kid's got talent.
so generous of you. The chick's got talent, I'm telling you.
I know. Hey, yeah, she's got it. She's going to be okay. But as far as, you know, what you said about approachability, or what's the other word I'm looking for? Authenticity. It's really tough to maintain like a closed garden wall.
Yeah.
Mystery and be like, yeah, this is very authentic to me.
Yep.
Also, just stage of life wise, regardless of age, if Beyonce was 42 and like chronically single and tweeting about it and writing songs about like the car and the bar, etc.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it would resonate more with the youth.
Poor Yance.
She's a distant mom.
Yeah. Well, we like her anyway.
She'll be okay. She'll land on her feet.
Yeah, she'll be just fine.
Another thing is that part of what we love about Beyonce is she's weird, right? Like her music is, there's some weird beats and there's some eccentricities and like
more avant-garde than Taylor by a lot.
Yes. And yeah, Taylor does none of that. And that's a stumbling block for a lot of like people of our generation and dudes and stuff getting into Taylor is like, no, it's pop, and there's nothing that's going to rub you the wrong way. Like it's very radio friendly, and you're not getting anything that's challenging.
Well, now that we've weighed in on the two most popular females of our generation, what would you change about the drink? Anything? I got a Whopper, so I'm going to let you go first.
Ooh, you going to let me finish?
I might dial back my lime. I'm going to cut my lime down to 3/4.
I like that, Tim. I'm gonna do the same thing, except I'm going to take my simple syrup in half.
Wow.
I'm going to do it exactly the same, except what did I find in my bar cart in an old bottle covered in dust?
No.
Yellow chartreuse.
Hey, look at you, Jim. I bet that's worth a lot of money. That's a duster.
That's a dusty.
A dusty. I liked when you guys were telling me about the dusties.
Yeah, we love dusties.
Oh, the dusties that made me puke after the finest meal I've had in 10 years?
Dusty duddy.
I bet they made you puke because it was old, dusty, moldy, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Worth it. Now, it was a good puke.
Do we know the difference? I guess my question is for Tim here, but Mike, feel free to answer if you have any ideas. Sure. What's the difference between green and yellow chartreuse?
Dyed. The color, obviously. Aside from that, Tim, help me out here.
I want to say we talked about it once and we said yellow was mellow or something like that. Like maybe it's a milder flavor.
And green is mean.
And green was more green.
Green is mean.
Okay.
But I can't. I haven't had yellow in a very long time, and the taste does not come to mind.
Great. Well, I'll do a little side-by-side taste, and I'll report back. But for now, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back here with round two after this.
Love that.
Nice.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And we're back with round two of the Industry Sour.
I made last-second decision. I did no simple syrup at all. This is a 3-ingredient mix.
Wait, what? Ooh,
dry guy.
No simple syrup at all.
I just did not do the simple syrup.
What do you got?
Here we go.
He's going to retch.
Nope. That's too much.
Yeah, of course.
It's too sour.
You omitted an ounce of sweet.
I know it.
Tim, your sip?
For me, I've already sipped, and I think I've fucked up because I... Oh no. I dialed back the lime and that allowed me to taste the other flavors more, which I like, but then as a result, the thing's too sweet. It's too sweet. The lime was balancing out the sugar. So I think we all need to just need to heed Jack Schramm here and go 1 1 1 3/4 ounces simple.
Yeah. Stick with the recipe. It's a recipe for a reason.
Man. I'm doing my yellow chartreuse here. You can see I got in one of these little Mystery bottles. It's labeled, though. When we started this pod, I got like a 12-pack of these tall, skinny bottles that you might find olive oil in.
It looks like olive oil.
A tall, skinny, square bottle.
Sure.
Because I knew I'd be having to divvy up a bunch of stuff with my boys. This tastes remarkably similar. It's like 5 degrees different in a way that I can't really articulate because they smell the same, the yellow and the green, and they also both are very star anise. I bet you somebody with like a better palate and a better vocabulary could tell you the difference between the two. I can't. So folks, if you can find yellow or green cheaper, get it. tell me what you think. Just took a little sip of yellow. That is good and plenty.
Just on its own, I see.
Yeah, and here comes a little sip of green. Yellow's maybe a little sugarier, sweeter. Okay, green's a little harsher. Green's a little harsher.
I need to get to that Amaro bar again.
Ah, yes. I never drank there, but I peeked my head in and said, oh.
Yeah, it's cool. It was on the way to, I think, Death & Co. It's right on the corner of that street. Anyway, it's a cool place. And I went in there once, and I was talking to a guy. I think his name was Lucky, the bartender. And I was the only one in there, and he knew Doughboy, so we were talking to each other about that. And it was, you know, it's those rare moments where you're like, I'm talking to the bartender here, and I'm drinking an industry sour with the bartender because I'm one of the guys.
You're part of the family over there.
I'm one of the guys now.
He's lucky to be talking to such a good guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I said, tonight, we're all so lucky. Lucky.
I should be so lucky.
The first time we passed through that spot, I was like, it's a place that has this weird drink. And then now I'm really, it's so weird. That says something about life, huh? But like now I'm so into Amari. Mm-hmm. I'm always buying different ones. It's such a conversation. I'm so interested. When I go to a bar, I always say to the bartender, I'm like, what's that one? There's Frenette and there's Chinar, but then what? And a Verna, but then what's this one? And then I always want to try it. And it's such a fun thing to do. Merely what, 2 years after I was in a whole bar full of Amaro and didn't give a shit? Life is always evolving, okay?
That's right. Yeah. Now he gets it, Jeff. We knew he'd catch on.
Now he gets it. Now he loves Amaro Nonino.
Amaro Nonino.
Amore e Amargo is the name of the place.
Great labels on Amaros.
Wait, you keep saying, yeah, that's true. You keep saying, Tim, Amari. Is that the plural?
That's the plural.
Yes, Michael.
Yes. Wonderful, wonderful.
Jeff, I got to circle back to chartreuse and point out that you decided to say green is harsher instead of saying yellow is mellow.
Green is mean.
Green is mean.
Green is mean. Yellow is mellow. That's when it comes to chartreuse. That's what the monks do. Green is mean.
But that's when it comes to chartreuse.
Yeah.
When it comes to chartreuse, that's what the monks do.
Tell you the truth when it comes to your chartreuse.
Right. And when it comes to the bartender combining his favorite things, the rhymes were all off in segment one. It should have been simple and lime juice and Fernet and chartreuse.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been.
Yeah.
A better kickoff.
One bite of burrito and I'll let this fart loose. That's our show.
Okay.
So you have the fart. The fart's in your butt, but you're not letting it loose until you take a bite of a burrito?
Yeah, the burrito's got to push it out.
The burrito's sort of the key.
Yeah, the lock is your butt.
That's our show. Follow us on social. Wait, we didn't say what we'd like about it.
We love it. I love this drink. This is an order again.
It's an order again, Tim. That's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. And if you can't get enough boys, go to patreon.com/thesloppyboys on your home computer. And then type in your credit card information. You'll be twice as happy every week. You'll belong twice as much.
You'll be on the Discord. You'll be talking to people about the stuff you like. Not just this show, by the way. I don't know if people know that. The Discord has all types of wild little rooms you go into.
Yeah, it's like AOL. It's like AOL, but just for people like you.
AOL.
Yeah. AOL.
Let's say you want to talk to T-Bone Costanza about
Japanese anime.
The Sloppy Boys.
Gardening.
Okay.
about the Sloppy Boys. There's a lot of Sloppy Boys chatter on there.
Well, sure.
They've been getting together and like watching Christmas movies, streaming Christmas movies, watching them together. It's a community.
Was there a Secret Santa this year?
I think they did Yeah, they did.
That's cool.
They did it all.
They do it all.
And now they're doing all the January festivities.
The naming of the resolutions, the signing of the checks with this year's date on it.
Good episode, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Great work.
And great episode, those of you listening at home. You're part of this too, you know.
I just finished that very sour, very limey round two.
Bye, folks.
Bye.
Bye.